Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I was waiting for the quit it now to kick in. Sorry, I got caught up in the music there. It's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes, there it is, there it is. I got this a little bit later. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald, Josh behind the glass. And as we tease, guys, MLB The Show, I believe, comes out just a couple weeks. I believe it comes out on Game Pass about 10 days from now? If you have Xbox Game Pass, I think it's around the 23rd. But it's coming up pretty soon. I know it's this month. And ahead of that release, it's put out its player ratings. And I found some interesting ones for the Astros. The Astros themselves tweeted out a graphic of the top five rated players on MLB The Show this year. I assume you guys both play MLB The Show, right? I mean, am I? Okay, good. I was hoping I wasn't the only nerd who games here. But I don't have much of a problem really with the top four. It's where it gets past that where I kind of raise an eyebrow at. So number one, Yordan Alvarez, no surprise. He's a 94 overall. Jose Altuve, number two, again, no surprise, 93 overall. Kyle Tucker, 90 overall, is number three. Framber Valdez, as number four, as an 87 overall. I thought the 87 overall was a little bit low.
Eyebrow raise.
I thought that could have been bumped up to about where Kyle Tucker is at a 90, maybe even above Kyle Tucker. I would listen to that argument as well. But then number five, and look, this is not a slight against the person that came in fifth here, but Ryan Pressly is your fifth rated Astro and MLB The Show 23 this year as an 85 overall. So it had me thinking and wanted to ask you guys, and Sean, I'll start with you first. Who's not on this top five that got left off that's an obvious snub to you?
Alex Bregman, third baseman for the Houston Astros. Maybe you've heard of him. I think he not just should be in the top five. I think he is so criminally underrated in this game. Literally underrated. His rating is under what it should be.
Yeah. What is his rating? It came, I think there was a video that came out. It was like 82?
82.
84.
It was at 84?
84.
Okay, it's 84. 84. Either way, he's underrated.
Either way, yes. He, like you said, Fromber should probably, instead of an 87, be closer to a 90. And then Bregman should be, instead of the 84, I already forgot what number you said. 84. He should be in the 87 range.
I mean, it almost feels like, I think, is this just because Alex Bregman had, what, two down years, 2020, 2021? Because, and he got off to a slow start last year as well. But if you're looking at Alex Bregman from 2018, 2019, and then the second half of last season, he's someone, to me, that could be moved up into the 90s.
I do believe that they take into account longer than just last year. I do think they take, like, the last 2 years of production into account when they're making the ratings.
But yeah,
I mean, still.
I
think they weight the recent year heavier, but they take...
Sure. And I do think that if Alex Bregman hadn't turned it on, and I mean, second half of the season, he was right there with Tucker and Alvarez, and Altuve, obviously, was a great lineup for their best offensive players.
I mean, it was a good lineup?
Breaking news. It was a very good lineup.
We're complaining about a guy who got an 84, and he's the sixth ranked Astro.
I don't get it, because if Bregman had never turned it around last season, and at that point you're talking about the last time Alex Bregman would have been a player worthy of a 90 score being 2019, 2018, then yeah, I'm with you. Okay, you got to drop him down a little bit. But he dealt with some injuries. He got you know, over that stuff, and the last 3 months of the season, he was great. He was back at the Alex Bregman, not the 40 home run Alex Bregman that we saw in 2019, but he was back at being the Alex Bregman that we saw during those two seasons. And it just, yeah, it does feel like a pretty obvious snub. But RJ, who was your biggest snub?
I got an ice box where my heart used to be. No, unbreak my heart. If you break my heart, my achy breaky heart. Heart is in every single one of those songs, and he was throwing up a lot of hearts.
Okay, hold on. Did anyone know where he was going there?
That was such a far walk.
Josh, did you know where he was going?
Absolutely, you guys did. Okay. But what was his trademark?
It was
the hearts. It was Jeremy Pena.
I had no idea where you were going.
DeMar Hamlin?
He's
not real, remember?
Conspiracy.
DeMar
Hamlin 2.0.
On this show, conspiracy. No, Jeremy Pena. I mean, you know, Jeremy Pena had as good a year as you could have. I mean, especially after... There are a lot of Astros fans, you know, we let go of Carlos Correa And, you know, now you bring in this Jeremy Pena guy, and he took the MLB world by storm and is rated at an 83. Now, I understand it was his first year of, like, you know, but actual man,
Gold
production.
Glove, ALCS MVP, World Series MVP.
I would have had him in 85 plus. I mean, if, you know, Bregman should be higher.
Yeah, Bregman should be around Tucker.
Right. But I mean, you know, for Pena, 85 plus, actually, if you have the sound, Jeremy Pena, no, we'll skip it. Jeremy Pena talked with
Josh showing you no heart right now.
I know.
Go
back. How could you be so heartless?
Did
you not use that one?
I did not use that one.
You recited the lyrics for every other song with a heart in it, but
and the rating is heartless because they're not giving the guy with heart love.
Yeah, that's absolutely. He was on the ratings episode special on MLB The Show that was hosted by Roflo, friend of ESPN 97.5.
Houstonian.
And, you know, talked about, you know, I thought that maybe I would be maybe like an 80. And, you know, Jesus, let's hear,
yes, Jeremy go ahead and hear it.
Humble Jeremy Pena.
You play the show?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and like playing as yourself got to be crazy.
That's dope. It's dope.
Do you know what your overall is for 2023?
Nah.
Nah?
Nah.
What do you think it is?
I'm going to go with an 80. 80.
80?
80. 80.
Yo, listen, this whole time we've been talking about, yo, you mad humble. That's very humble, bro, because I would have been like, yo, 99 and a half. 99.8. You are so humble because your actual rating is an 83. And that seems like something that will make people mad.
That would have. I don't think it would have made me mad. I mean, I understand it's 1 year of production, so you're going to start him out low, but I would have gave him an 85 plus. That would have been me.
Yeah, I do. I agree. I think both Bregman and Jeremy Pena are a little bit low. My snub here is Christian Javier, the newest Astro to get a contract extension. I mean, dude threw a no-hitter at Yankee Stadium. He threw a no-hitter in the World Series. If he had enough innings, would have been, I believe, top five basically in every major pitching category. Maybe not wins, but all the kind of individual ones like ERA and WHIP and all the things like that, strikeout per nine. He's at the top of all of that. Two no-hitters, and he's not – I mean, I don't know if you have the rating in front of me. Obviously, he's below an 85, but I don't know what Javier has to do other than – obviously more years in the league to get a rating better than that. Obviously a young player, he hasn't had, like I said, he didn't qualify for the awards and like the ERA crown and things like that. So he didn't throw as many innings as other pitchers, but it's not like this is his first year in the league. He's had other years where he struck out a tons of guys per nine, great ERA. So yeah, Christian Javier, I don't know what he's rated at. It looks like RJ might, I don't know if you found it yet, but it doesn't matter. Either way, he needs to get bumped up. I don't understand why he's so low on this list.
If I was making ratings for a video game, like, what's the harm in buying into hype?
I mean,
what's the actual harm of, like, you know what? This guy's really cool. Like, Jeremy works for Pena or Christian Javier. Just like, man, like, could you, like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, you're not selling video games by having a bunch of guys as like a 65 or a 70.
Yeah, you're not actually trying to like – or you're not even trying to like actually accurately portray Major League Baseball.
And even if you are, like I haven't done this work because it would take too much work, but I have a feeling if you surveyed Major League hitters, who would they rather face, Ryan Pressly or Christian Javier, you're going to get – you'd rather face Ryan Pressly most of the time. I mean, not to downgrade Ryan Pressly, but I just don't see – how someone as nasty as Javier, who's had a few years of success and, you know, dominant strikeout numbers in ERA, throws two no-hitters this year, one in the damn World Series, how he's below Ryan Pressly on this list. So, I mean, we named Javier, we named Bregman, named Pena. Anyone else that we didn't name that you think maybe next year could wind up in the top five for the Astros?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe I get
Hunter Brown, is that the... I
don't know if he could. The thing with the Astros is cracking the top five is very hard.
It's a tough proposition.
Very hard to do. So you could talk me into maybe Brian Abreu has just a crazy reliever year.
I can see that.
Or Luis Garcia. Or Luis Garcia takes it up a notch. True. Luis Garcia pitched in the WBC last
night.
Yeah,
he had a great outing against the
DR. Yeah, I could see Luis Garcia kind of being the guy to take the step up to crack the top five.
I could see that. It's interesting because, like you said, there's so many Astros that could deserve a bump up. That it's hard to crack that top five. Did you have one, RJ? Do you think the Mike could get into the top five before we go to break?
I haven't seen him. As far as like last season is concerned, but he did seem like it was a very good pickup by the Houston Astros. I mean, does Abreu, Jose Abreu,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
getting any love together?
Yeah, if his power comes back,
yeah, if he has the year that he had 2 years ago or right. 3 years ago, yeah.
We'll go to break here in a second. But one nice thing about Luis Garcia this year, I don't know if you guys will feel the same about this. As far as playing with him in the show, not in real life, because I enjoy the Rock the Baby wind up in real life, but pitching with him in the show is such so long, a pain that I traded him last year after about a month. I was like, I cannot deal with the timing.
Man. Disrespect.
Yeah.
Disrespect.
How dare you?
I know.
As long as no one says Force Whitley is the guy to break the top.
No, of course not. Not unless it's a ratings or based on likelihood to get suspended. All right, so we've got one last segment. Yeah, it's only 10:13, but we only have one segment left. That's thanks to Buzzkill Williams and Aggie Basketball playing in the SEC Championship game against Alabama. Pregame coverage starts at 10:30, so we only have one segment left. I might have one more thought on this video game topic, and then we'll wrap up the week with the worst people in sports and the two things we love from sports. That's next on The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. It's the bullpen with Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald, and Josh behind the glass. Coming off our last segment where we talked about some snubs for MLB The Show, the Astros ratings, I had a thought here, something I wanted to ask you. We'll get to it quickly because we got it. Lord knows we got to get to Aggie Basketball because they had to go and win yesterday.
Buzz Williams will yell at us.
Selfish Aggies having to play an SEC title game. Why couldn't they play it yesterday like the much more generous and considerate Texas Longhorns? We'll get into that. But we're talking about last segment about sports video games, and there's obviously a lot of frustration that comes into my life that I wish I didn't react to when it comes to playing video games. But I had a thought. What would be like the biggest pet peeves you have playing video games, but specifically sports video games?
Being an NBA 2K guy, pay for play. Yeah. I mean, if you're not starting out at
microtransactions.
Yeah, man. Microtransactions are just it's horrible.
Going back, unfortunately.
No, I mean, if you're not starting out as an 88, you pay $60 for a game at the time. I'm talking PS4 days. If you don't, you pay $60 for a game. Now you're paying almost an extra $50. Just to get
a usable player,
get currency to now up your player before you even start playing online. This takes the fun out of it. If you're not any good, now nobody wants to play with you. So I mean, that's my pet peeve.
Sounds like you're harping back to some childhood trauma there, RJ. No one wants to play with you.
That sounded all right, so bad. Let's move on.
We don't
have. Yeah, probably should.
Buzz Williams doesn't want us to talk about.
No. Okay. What does he want us to talk about?
I think
trauma.
He wants to talk about how when you raise the difficulty, especially in sports video games, it actually happens in other video games too, even like more chance ones, that the team doesn't actually start playing better. They just start making every shot.
Yeah. Like, or they become Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl and break every single tackle.
They break every tackle, or the wide receiver just like absolutely incinerates your cornerback. Yeah. There's no the strategies, nothing actually gets better when you go up in difficulty. It just becomes
not something you can adjust to. You just have to
deal with it. I guess I just have to tackle him five times to bring him down. It happens in different games too, where it's just like, oh, so they just get better stuff. They just get better stuff.
Carmelo Anthony doesn't miss.
Or if it's this is a funny one, but you could raise the difficulty in like the Monopoly video game.
Really?
And they just get better rolls. They just
land on 5 and 6 all the time?
And they avoid jail if they need to.
The algorithm changes.
They just do not.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize Monopoly had a difficulty setting.
Yeah, it does. No.
Josh, do you have one? Oh, my bad. I didn't look behind the glass before I tossed you. That was amateur Mongolia. Of me. Yeah.
No,
you were getting ready for audio. That's
for
my
me,
fault.
It's just getting stuck in animations, like going for a dunk on a regular fast break, and all of a sudden I'm doing a John Wall 360, and here comes the defender giving me a LeBron chase down block. Like, what sense does this make?
Yeah, no, I that was one of the reasons I stopped playing NBA 2K, is because they did this thing where they had a broken animation where it didn't matter who you had. You could have Yao Ming at 7'6", and you would get locked into like a layup animation when they're right under the basket, yeah, instead of him just throwing down on somebody. Yeah. So I could go all day on pet peeves on video games, but because we only have a few minutes left, thanks Aggie Basketball, let's go ahead and get into the worst person in sports this week and the thing we love from sports this week. So, Josh, I have some audio for this. I'll set it up quickly. There is a Southland Conference umpire that got suspended, Reggie Drummer. Go ahead and listen to the audio, and I'll get into it after this.
1-1. Called a strike there, and it's 1-2, and oh my. Mims is showing where the pitch was. That was way low. He's asking for time here. Now he's going to dig into the box. 1-2 coming. It's down. Oh, my gosh! Wow! He got rung up on ball two, and the game is over. Oh, my goodness, that is horrific. Well, the Privateers win the game, a game they looked like they were going to win anyway, but that is just awful. Oh, my gosh. Reggie Drummer just wanted to go home.
You have to go see this video. It's on ESPN. That's where I found it. The first pitch that gets called a strike, it's a 1-1 count, ninth inning. This actually ended the game. The first pitch was low. It was pretty low. It was almost in the dirt when the catcher picked it. But, you know, you've seen that before where you can maybe argue it kind of broke across as a breaking pitch, maybe. But the problem was the Mississippi State outfielder, Devin Mims, went to the point of showing with his bat where the pitch was. And I think the umpire got a little mad because the pitch that followed, as you heard the – and again, this was – the radio play-by-play you just heard was from the opposing team, the team that this benefited, and he's still reacting this way. The pitch that followed the end of the game was not only inches off the dirt, but it was so far outside it was in the other batter's box.
To the point where
this umpire by the conference got suspended. Did this help Mississippi State in their following game? No, they lost 35-3. Sean's reaction says he didn't look at the rundown for this portion of the show.
No,
you would think this might be a rallying cry for Mississippi Valley State to play with an inspired performance after they got screwed by the umpire, but no, they lost 35-3 the next day. Sean, what is your who is your worst person in sports? You can't get over the 35-3.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I called it.
I was going to say.
Yeah, at what point do you call it? Can we call it when it's 20-3?
My worst person was going to be Aaron Rodgers. There's an update that the Packers-Jets deal is essentially done. Both sides have the details worked out, but now it's just up to Rodgers to decide. And he still hasn't decided. What'd you go on the retreat for?
He's going to decide when free agency news starts coming in, but so he can still headline.
He's not my worst person of the week.
Okay.
It's whoever played for Mississippi Valley State and they lost 35-3. What? Every member of that team is the worst person of the week.
At what point in the game, if you're on Mississippi Valley State, do you just walk off the field and say, I'm out? I mean, at 30-3? And then you just walk back to the
20?
Bus?
Yeah.
Anyway, RJ, who is your worst person in sports this week?
Worst person of the week, definitely Kendrick Perkins. I mean, just his take about, you know, journalists voting for players because they're white. I understand there's a lot of arguments that you can argue for regular season MVP, who should be the MVP, but it's a regular season award, and an award where almost no fans care about the regular season. But, you know, Kendrick Perkins is bringing this up. But if anybody can make it lighthearted and make it funny, it's definitely the NBA on TNT.
Yesufu barrels to the basket. Cunningham ripped it away, and now it's Rice. Lob. Oh! 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 Up and up.
That's all right. I'll just say that we're out of time. Anyway, we'll get to the things we love here this week. That was the thing I loved. Texas basketball winning the Big 12 Conference Championship by 20 points over the probably number one overall seed, or at least they were before that loss. Kansas Jayhawks, they also hammered them in the regular season finale. I absolutely loved that game. That was a lot of fun to watch. RJ, what was the thing you loved from sports this week?
Well, the thing that I loved actually comes from Jabari Smith. I think here was the guy, he had been losing his confidence all year. Mr. Perfectionist, Steven Silas says, I don't run any plays for him. And was able to come up big in the Rockets game against the Indiana Pacers.
They get it to Smith. He turns. His three is good.
Listen, you can't play it any better than that.
So he finished with 30 and 12, 3 for 5 from 3, including the game-tying shot. I think it was huge for him. I think it was huge for his confidence in a year where I don't think he's had the greatest of rookie seasons. I think he needed that game, so I love that for him.
All right, Sean, you got 20 seconds. What was your best thing from sports this week?
FTX is getting thrown in prison. Everyone involved with FTX is getting indicted, but not Shaquille O'Neal, who has evaded multiple attempts to be served by hiding in his house.
It helps to have 15 rooms in your house.
A man who is live on TNT once a week is hiding from people serving him papers.
Yeah, couldn't they just show up in Atlanta to the TNT studios?
Yeah, we're not going to Atlanta.
Best of the week, his legal defense.
All right, that'll do it for the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 for Josh, for Sean, for RJ. This has been Brian McDonald. We'll be back next week. Aggie basketball is next. See you guys.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.